This is the State of Things live from Upstage Cabaret at the Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stachow. Minerva Cisneros Garcia made headlines when she entered Sanctuary in June of 2017. She did so to avoid deportation. Earlier this month, she was granted permanent residency by a federal immigration judge in Charlotte. Minerva left Mexico almost 20 years ago with her son, who is blind. She entered the U.S. illegally and made her way to North Carolina, spent more than a decade working at a warehouse in Winston-Salem. She was given a stay of removal in 2013, and each year since, she'd been required to check in with ICE. And normally, she was sent home and told to come back the next year. And then on May 25th, 2017, things changed. Joining us now to tell her story is Minerva Cisneros Garcia. Welcome to the State of Things. It's good to have you here. Also with Minerva is her attorney, Helen Parsonage of Elliott Morgan Parsonage in Winston-Salem, and she's with us as well. Minerva, take us back. Now we'll go back to that ICE meeting that you had in 2017 when you went in to check in, as you had been doing for about 4 years. What happened at that meeting?
Oh, yeah. Before, I just want to say hi, everybody. Yeah, that day I went and check in, and they signed, and you know, they asked me if I got in trouble or stuff like that, and I told them no, like always, and they told me, okay, you can go home. We don't have nothing new to tell you. Just come back next year. So like 3 weeks later, I got a letter saying that I had to leave the country in 1 month and 15 days period, which was June the 30th. So when I got that letter, I was like in shock. Like I just thought and keep thinking. So I didn't talk to nobody about it, but I was like very scared, and I was trying to understand like, why are they telling me to? They telling me to go to Mexico? What's gonna happen with my kids? What's gonna happen with me? I said, this is not happening. So, like an hour later, I had to go and look the letter again to understand. Because it's in English, maybe I don't understand well. But like a few hours later, I called my friend Sarah and I told her, and she said, "Oh, Minerva, I'm sorry. This is not happening." And then she was almost crying with me, and she told me, yeah, they saying that. I told her, maybe I don't understand, but she said, yes, I mean, I'm sorry. We had to figure it out something. So, yeah, that was
the day. That's when you chose to go into Sanctuary?
No. Actually, I wasn't not even planning to go to Sanctuary. Right. I say, no, how am I going to be there like a small little animal hiding, you know, on the basement? From these people, I haven't killed nobody. I haven't hurt anybody. Why I gonna hide myself? And I say, what is gonna happen with my son? He's blind and he's gonna need food. And I was like, this is not happening. So when I decided to go to Sanctuary, that was like the last day. Like I was praying something to happen before I choose that decision.
You talked about your son. You and your son, Eduardo,
yes,
came from Mexico.
Yes.
And he is blind, and you've had two children since here.
Yes.
So now that's three children that you had to think about, and you were working at the time, right?
Yes, in a part-time.
Tell us what you were doing.
I was making stuff for selling to the people, like plants and stuff. Mm.
So you'd been working, and on and off, you'd been working the whole time that you came to the U.S.
Oh, yes. I worked in this company for 11 years. It's a regular full-time job. And they let me go because my work permit expired, mm-hmm. So they told me not to work there anymore.
And can you tell us roughly or briefly why you left Mexico?
The reason I left Mexico is that because my husband passed away in 2000, and then I had to make the decision where to go for my son to be able to go to school. My son is blind. He was 5 years old at the time. And then at the place where we used to live, there is no school for blind. So I have to move. I had to look for a place where my son to get an education. Besides that, an education for him to be safe, because in Mexico, they treat the disabled people like they are like small furniture, like they don't have value, they don't have a feelings. So that's, and my family, my sister and my brother, they told me to come here. And I was even refusing like to come here like that, because I know there is rules. Every country has their own rules and stuff. And I'm not going to America, especially there is too many white people. And I thought like, no, and I even speak English. What am I gonna be doing in there? So finally I had to decide to come here, and it was a great, wonderful, the best decision I made to come here.
So you came here, you entered the country illegally. ICE knew that. You were checking in regularly. You hadn't broken any of the other rules. In fact, you were working, and so ICE allowed you to stay year by year, and then suddenly you get this decision. What did you think was going to happen then once you went into sanctuary? You've got this deportation order all of a sudden without much time to think. What was going to happen?
It was many, many questions in my head, like, if I go back to Mexico, I'm going to leave my kids here? I will never see them, like, especially my oldest son, he's on DACA. They're not able to go to Mexico and come back. And my son loves this country. I love this country too. But for his safety to, you know, the best place for him to live is here. So, yes, this is the best place.
Helen Parsonage, tell us about the legality of this, because Minerva, you didn't seek asylum, you did enter illegally. What are the pathways to legal residency under those circumstances, and how did this come about, this decision come about?
Well, there are a lot of people think that if you enter the country without documents, that there's nothing you can do. And that is true for the vast majority, but actually there are a few exceptions to that rule. Asylum, you mentioned, is one of them. There are visas for victims of crimes, and there are certain pathways specially created for victims of domestic violence. And so, you know, what we did after Minerva went into sanctuary is we just followed the law step by step, applied the law. We didn't bend the rules. Minerva didn't somehow cheat and do an end run around the law. We just went through the steps of, first of all, we had to reopen her old deportation order, and a judge in Harlingen, Texas, agreed that her case should be reopened. So then she didn't have a deportation order anymore. That was step one. And of course, at that point, she came out of sanctuary. We filed a petition with the Immigration Service, and that was approved, and that was step two. And then step three just fell into place. In fact, it was just last week when an immigration judge in Charlotte accepted the petition and granted Minerva her permanent residency after almost 20 years. So it's a really good example of the fact that the law works and following the law works.
But that Charlotte court is notoriously difficult to get rulings like this. Is Minerva's situation so unique that I'm wondering how that happened in a court that is notorious for not granting these kinds of things?
I think it's partly because she already had a petition granted by the Immigration Service, so it wasn't a question of the judge having to look at the facts or her situation. You know, the discretionary part, Minerva, there was not really much question in my mind that she was worthy of a positive discretion from the judge, and he apparently agreed.
So. My question is if everybody had the number of people who are waiting for this kind of decision had, you know, quality legal help, would they all qualify? I mean, what's the percentage? Because we know there are a lot of people who are waiting for these decisions.
Oh, I wish that having the right lawyer would be the only thing that mattered. But some cases are just harder than others, and the Charlotte Immigration Court is notorious, I think would be the word, for a low approval rate, particularly for asylum claims. So we were fortunate that this was not an asylum claim.
Minerva, yes. What does this mean for you? How did you react when you heard the news? And now, what does it mean for you going forward to have this new status?
First, before I got in front of the judge, I was like, oh God, please help me, and please help me. And I was very nervous. So when he started talking and asking questions, I was even more nervous. So when he finally finished and told me that I will be granted, and the first thing I did is cry and keep crying. But now I just, you know, understanding and digesting, and I feel like I'm free, I'm lighter. My life is like, I can take decisions now. Like I can even drive, and I don't have to worry much about the police pulling me over and arrest me. And this is a life-changing decision.
Minerva Cisneros Garcia, congratulations. Welcome to Greensboro.
Thank you so much.
thank you. Thank you for being here. Helen Parsonage, immigration attorney with Elliott Morgan Parsonage in Winston-Salem, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Got some music in just a second, and just ahead, the Greensboro Bound Literary Festival takes over downtown Greensboro. We'll talk about it, but first, the music of Sam Frazier. Sam?
Seven out of ten, where we begin.